Shalom Aleichem. Hopefully this is going to work out. Blaine and Harvey just had a grandchild, and I'm trying to do this in the morning because tonight's going to be very busy, and the phone might ring right now. So hopefully we'll have the Siyata Shemaya to finish this uninterrupted. I will attempt to be concise. Parshas Vayera. We are in Parshas Vayera. We come to the quintessential nisayon, that of the Kedesh Yitzchak, and I think want to examine a little bit this topic of nisayon, and in particular with regard to Kedesh Yitzchak, and what does it mean for us. So first of all, Mesillas Yesharim starts off in his Biur Klal Chovas Adam Ba'olamo. He tells us, Nimtzeinu Lamedim Ki Iker Metzius HaAdam Ba'olam Hazeh Hu Rak Lekayim Mitzos V'Lavod V'Lamod B'Nisoyim. It's very clear in Mesillas Yesharim that Nisyonos are part of life, or I should say, to be the requirement of a Mida B'Nisoyim is a requirement of life. It's part of growth. One's spiritual muscles, as it were, atrophy unless he is exposed to nisayon. And that's a person's job description. Mekayem mitzvos, to be over Hashem, to be omer b'nisayon. He makes no mention over here of what sort of qualifications a person has to have in order to receive a nisayon. It would appear that everyone gets nisyonos. And there are makoros like that, that everyone is receives nisyonos, tzaddikim, non-tzaddikim, etc. Mitzad sheni, we come to the Ramban, in Shara Gmul. This is the Ramban in Sefer Torah Sa'adam. He has a whole section called Shara Gmul, where he talks about hashgacha. Talks about Hashgacha, and among the topics that he speaks about there, and I'm going to synopsize, I think today, synopsizing is an expression of the brevity is the soul of wit. I think we need to be concise today. The Ramban there discusses the idea that a Kadosh Baruch Hu only gives nisyonos to tzaddikim. Bang! Now, for all of us, even if we didn't have a Mesillas Yesharim, we all say, I understand, I have nisyonos all the time. I am experiencing nisyonos from morning till night, 7 days a week. What do you mean Ramban says that the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives nisyonos only to tzaddikim? And the Ramban has a pasuk to back him up. Hashem tzaddik yivchan. Hashem is bochein the tzaddikim. Nu. So what are we supposed to do with that? The long and short of it is that the Ramban is making two points. The first point, which I think is the most important for us, is there is a midah called nisayon. In other words, Mesillas Yesharim is describing life itself. It's filled with nisayonos. Listen, if a person, chalila v'chas, is over a terrible aveira, and then Rachman letzlan, right, Hashem should have Rachmanis, but the fact is, Hashem deems it best to give him a terrible onesh, to be mechaper for that avera. The person doesn't experience it as a nisayon. Of course he experiences it as a nisayon. It's tough. He has to keep on constantly reminding himself, this is what you needed to cleanse you from what you did, right? Don't allow your head to become unscrewed. This was necessary, was needed. Everything Hashem does is for the best, gamzu l'tova, etc. So the person experiences it as a nisayon. But you couldn't say that it was brought upon him as a nisayon. It was brought upon him as an onesh. There's an onesh. So we have to differentiate between the way we experience nisyonos and when Hashem is using it as a midah. And when Hashem uses it as a midah, the Ramban is very clear. And as the pasuk says, Hashem tzadik yivchan, it is for the purpose of bringing out the potential that's inside of a person, and the way the Ramban describes it, so that he should receive reward not only for his perfected heart, but he should receive reward for the actions that he has actually followed through on this art. It's almost like the difference between emunah and bitachon. Emunah is a person's worldview, how he sees things, how he understands things, how he looks at the world, he looks at events, etc., etc., etc. Bitachon is where is the lab. When an event takes place, he needs bitachon. He needs to bring the kochos of his emunah into the practical world. So too also the world of Nisayon, the person, and in the Ramban's parlance, again, I'm synopsizing here because I'm afraid we'll get interrupted. In the Ramban's parlance, the idea of the Nisayon is brought upon a person, and listen to this, as Ramban is very clear, it's only in a situation of where Hashem, again, without getting into Hashem's omniscience and on our free will, but it's always all's well that ends well, because Hashem knows how it's going to end. Of course, He always knows how it's going to end, but here it's always all's well that ends well. It never involves the destruction in this world. I'm not talking about the next world. The destruction in this world, the tzaddik of his family, of whatever it is, it doesn't happen. It's always, in the end, it comes out in this world good. It's for the, to give the tzaddik the opportunity to actualize that which is in him already, potentially. It is also there to teach the world of how they should strive for the same sort of dedication and commitment to the Ribbono Shel Olam, etc., etc., etc. The Ramban says that Nisayon is not part of the category of Yisurim. This is Ramban's approach. He even cites the Medrash, interestingly enough, the Medrash here in Bereishis Rabbah, that he mentions the idea of the Yotzer, the potter, right? My apologies to Harry, the potter, who wishes to show off how good his kiln is, how excellent. And when he fires his pots inside, they come out incredibly durable. And in order to advertise his wares, he bangs on the strongest pots that he knows will not break. He doesn't bang on weak pots that might break. This is the Ramban's approach. It's interesting that in that same Medrash, the Medrash not only cites the case of the potter, it cites two other cases. It gives the example of the flax worker, someone who's growing flax in order to make linen. The best flax he beats to turn it white, and poor quality flax he will not beat quite as much because he's afraid it'll just shred into nothingness. So too, if there's a difficult field, to be plowed, and he has two oxen, one ox that is strong, another ox which is weak, he'll place the yoke, he'll place the plow, right, on the shoulders of the stronger ox. The Ramban doesn't mention these other two ideas. It could be that, I don't know how he deals with it. He only cites the case of the potter, and he calls, this is the classical example of Nisayon. The reason I'm mentioning the other two is because the Maral, in Der Chaim, in his parish on Avos, he always he brings this medrash. He brings all three cases. He says there are three different forms of Nisyonos, and he's very clear that Yisurim can be a form of Nisyon. There's the Mida. Again, he's not going back necessarily to the what we saw in the Mesillas Yesharim. Mesillas Yesharim is talking about we experience Nisyonos all the time in life. It's a Nisyon for us to keep mitzvahs, right? Not to listen to the Hitzarai. Can you call out the medium Nisyon? No, you have a claim to keep mitzvahs. Right? We experience it as a Nisyon. Perhaps you could say we bring the Nisyon on ourselves. I don't know. Whatever the case may be. But the Maral cites all three cases, and he says there's three different forms of Nisyon. One is the Nisayon, as the Ramban said, to actualize that which is in the tzaddik. The Maral actually comes at it at a little bit of a different trajectory than the Ramban did. The Ramban wants to have the tzaddik's actions as he fulfills this nisayon, as he's miskayim, as he's successful, to be omid in this nisayon. So it instructs people of what they should aspire to in terms of their avodas Hashem. In the parlance of the Maharal, it seems that he's more emphasizing the idea that when Avram, or any tzaddik, would receive reward, but in the case of Avram, certainly, when Avram would receive reward, this is to block any counterclaim by Midas Adin or for the people around and say, oh, Hashem makes wealthy, Hashem makes successful, Hashem gives kavod to whoever he wants to. This way we have a comeback, as it were, could you do what Avram did? To which everybody sort of abashedly hangs their head down and says, no. So once again, it is to teach a lesson. It's a little bit of a different lesson than that which the Ramban accentuated. Ramban accentuated to inspire people to strive higher. The Maharal accentuating the idea that this way those who have counterclaims against why the tzaddiks are receiving such a reward, or is blessed in this world. Why is he getting it? Does he deserve it? God, Hashem just gives to whoever he wants. No, we can come back and say, tell me, could you do what Avram did? Answer is no, so hush up. But the Maharal does continue and say that there are other forms of nisayon. The case of the flax being beaten, he says, a case of yisurim that are brought upon a tzaddik, or ketzaddik, to cleanse him, and that under normal circumstances, perhaps a lesser person would not have been cleansed in this world for fear that he won't be able to withstand the nisayon. Instead, Hashem cleanses the tzaddik of even the smallest iniquity here, so that his reward will be totally intact later. And because he knows he has the ability to be able to be omid bin nisayon, the Maharal doesn't necessarily. Doesn't make the point that it's always going to be all's well that ends well. He does not say that. He just says that the tzaddik has the ability, she'efshar, she'yu, if you see what I'm reading here towards the end of the paragraph here in the Derech Chaim, she'efshar, she'yu, omdim, b'loy, right? B'loy, shabru, umaki shalem. So that's already even in the first case. So there's the actualization of that which is already in the tzaddik in potential. That's the case of the potter. There is the withstanding the yisurim, the suffering that sometimes takes place to cleanse the tzaddik of even the smallest iniquity, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu, we know, is medaktikim tzaddikim kirkut asara, because they are living such lives of excellence and they will receive a reward of excellence, and therefore Hashem treats them with standards of excellence. But this is nisayon, the yisurim. And it doesn't say that it's going to be all's well that ends well. Unfortunately, we know that. And the last case, the case of the two oxen upon the healthy, stronger ox, the burden is put. There, the Maharal says that is a case of where sometimes the tzaddik absorbs the midas hadin for his generation. And of course, we know he gets tremendous schar for that. That the Ramchal speaks about at great length, that a tzaddik, as it were, who absorbs the midas hadin for his generation, receives great reward for his acts, not in this world necessarily, the next world. Okay, let's get to our parsha here. And once again, I said I'd be brief. Which dvarim? We saw in last week's parsha that Rashi brought down the Chazal that he went with the opinion that when it says achar, it is immediately after the event that just preceded. When it says achrei, then there can be quite a distance between the two events. Rashi went with that opinion. There's another opinion in the Medrash, which is the exact reverse. And interestingly enough, over here, Rashi says, Achar Advar Me'ele, Yesh Mir Abuseinu Omrim, Achar Dvarav Shel Satan, Shayim Ekatreg, Ve'omer, Bechol Se'uda She'as Avram, Lo Hikriv Lefanecha Par Echad. The Achar Advarim, which Dvarim? So he says it's a reference to the time of Yitzchak Avinu's bris. He's 37. That's a long time. There's those who say that this is the Achar HaDvarim. In other words, the Satan comes and says, you see, all he was interested in getting the son, he didn't bring a korban, any sort of korban, when he made a bris for his son. You see, etc. I mean, Mefarshim say that the reason that Avram didn't is because he thought that the bris meal itself had a din of a korban. And really, in Hilchos Bris Mila, one learns about the din of the sandik, as the sandik who holds the baby is like a mizbeach. But okay, nope. Sutton claims, in order to counter that claim, right, to make sure that no one can say that, again, we're not worried about just the Sutton himself, we're talking about what people will say and how this will have a deleterious effect on them if they say, oh, see, Avram really, he wasn't so altruistic, he was just interested in getting a son. But anyway, the Achar over here is clearly a great amount of time. Oh, I said this is going to be an issue.
Call from SG, not K. Call from...
Recording in progress.
Okay, pardon me. Mazal tov. In any event, yes, sorry. Oh, okay, fine. So that's what Rashi says. Rashi suggests it's referring back to that conversation. And Hashem in turn says, you'll see that he'll be willing to give his son. V'yesh omrim, achar dvarav shel Yishmael, shayim espire al Yitzchak, shemal ben yud gimel shana, velo micha. Right, some say that Yishmael was, as it were, saying to Yitzchak, which is could also be at a much later date, the fact that he received his bris milah at 13, and Yitzchak had no choice, and he was only 8 days old, etc., to which Yitzchak retorts, if Hashem asks me for my life, I will give it to him. So in any event, Rashi is not following the derech over here, of saying that achar is immediately afterwards, which is not the way he approached it in Parshas Lech Lecha. It could be because Rashi wants to avoid, perhaps he's going with the idea of the Ramban, and that this the quintessential Nisayon has no other agendas evolved in it. It is there only to bring out and to show the greatness of the tzaddik. There are no other issues involved. Interestingly enough, you hear this idea. In other words, the Ramban is a purist when it comes to the concept of Nisayon. It says, Lokim Nisas Avram, this is the meat of Nisayon, therefore there are no other agendas other than to show the greatness of the individuals, in this case, Avram and Yitzchak, according to the two opinions there. And therefore he's forced to say that Achar, over here, is not the event that immediately took place prior, that's written in the Chumash prior to the Akedah. It could be also, because there is no event written that is immediately close to the Akedah. In other words, the last event discussed in the Chumash before the Akedah is the bris that Avram makes with Avimelech. And this is years, probably 12 years before the Akedah, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have the Cheshbon in my mind right now, but it's a number of years before. So since there isn't an event that is written in the Torah that immediately precedes this, so therefore Rashi perhaps feels he has the leeway to use the word achar as referring to something that took place many, many, many years earlier. Could be. Rashbam, on the other hand, Rashbam, says, Vayhi achar advar me'ele, kol mok mishneem achar advar me'ele, mechubar el aparsha shalamala. Ramban doesn't learn that it's dependent upon an event taking place in time immediately before, but only that which is written. And achar advar me'ele, shaharag avram amlochim amr lo akodesh bruch al tira avram, and he cites the idea that we used in Parshas Lech Lecha, that immediately after the battle of the four kings, Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to him and says, Chard Varmayel, Al Kira Avram, you know, almost don't be afraid about their revenge, don't be afraid of what you, you may have killed some people, maybe they were innocent, etc. That which we discussed last week. Afkan, says the Rashban, Achar Dvorim, Shekoras Avram Bris Lavi Melech. He had a Bris Lavi Melech. Right? And that's a problem. That's a problem. Here you're making the Bris. You feel like you have to make a covenant with the people who inherit the land, right? Because Baruch Hu Tziva Lehem L'Sechaya Kol Neshama. When Yeshua is going to come to the land, these are part of the people that are going to either have to leave or order to be eradicated. L'chein ve'elokim nisa'as Avraham kintaro v'tziaro k'dechsiv Anisa davar elecha til'eh. Clearly, the Rashbam is understanding the idea of Nisayon, even when it's called a quintessential Nisayon, Elkim Nisayas Avram, it can involve inflicting pain in order to cleanse a person for something that's perhaps not 100% correct. Interesting. So it would appear on the surface that Rashi is going with the Ramban's approach, that in Nisyonos, especially when the term Nisyon is used in the Chumash, are only positive, proactive, to reveal the greatness of the one who is being tested. There are no other agendas. And the Rashbam seems to be going with the derech of the Maral, that no, you can have something that's called a Nisyon in the Torah, and it's there also to cleanse. It may not be the same standards that we all experience. It may be a stricter standard, it's only for a tzaddik, Hashem tzaddik yivchon, but nonetheless, it's there to cleanse from something that's not 100% pesach. The Rabbein Abachye, fascinatingly enough, says, Elokim nisa'as Avram, zui parsha sa'akeda, asher Yisrael betuchim liyoschu sa'akeda, megin aleim b'chol dor v'ador. So immediately he brings in, this is the parsha of the Akeda, right, that Klal Yisrael rests upon the schus, the merits of this act throughout all the generations till the end of days. Ve'ein ha'nisoyon chas ha'sholom yitzal Hashem Yisbrach, ele eitzel ha'brios, lo'hodia godel malas ha'tzadik o ha'novi. This sounds like the Ramban, and again, the Rabbein Bachya is often like the Ramban, he's Talmud Rashba, Rashba Talmud Ramban, right, maybe he considers even the Ramban his Rebbe as well. So this is clearly, it's only l'hodiyah, it's never a suffix by Hashem, it's only l'hodiyah, it's only to reveal the greatness of the tzaddik or the navi. V'chein amar kosov, Hashem tzaddik yivchon. Okay, very interesting. U'mashe nismecha akeid l'parshas Avimelech, it's getting confusing here. Mashe nismecha, the fact that the akeidah is juxtaposed in the Chumash to the story about the bris with Avimelech, over the Medrash, Nisa Loshem Zaf. Anger. Kinrat Hagamin and Zofin. Nisisin. Vezed Kenege Mashihichnis La Kurish Brochu. Vesheva Kvosel Shinosan Lavimelch Shikenegda Nanshu Bonav Shiyoshev Yishev Oran Abris. The Oran Abris was taken captive as a result of the punishment, the fact that Avram made a bris with the Plishtim, gave them that strength of bris with him. So the Aron HaBris in the days of Eli HaKohen was taken captive of Sveit Lishim for seven Kadoshim. It's amazing. So the Rabbeinu Bachya, fascinatingly enough, introduces the two concepts together. In other words, the purpose, it's always going to be all's well that ends well. Like the Ramban. It's only to show the greatness. But there always has to be, in order to create discomfort for anybody, the Rabbeinu Bachya says there has to be an Achilles heel. And that Achilles heel is, in this case over here, Avram's bris with the Plishtim. Fascinating. Fascinating. it is to, there has to be an Achilles heel that allows the Midas Adin to come in to cause the person the pain, the discomfort, etc. It's very similar to what the Ramchal writes about, that even when you're having a tzaddik v'ralo, a case of, this, for instance, the case of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, where he was once giving shear, and a calf that was being brought to the slaughter hid behind him, and because it sensed that it was being brought to be turned into veal chops. And Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Kilu said to the calf, "Why are you afraid? Why are you, expressing your discomfort, your fear? L'chach nasarta, this is what you were created for." In Shemayim, that was considered a lack of sensitivity for Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and then for the next 13 years he suffered horrible yisurim. When he used the facilities, his screams could be heard from miles around. And then the Gemara relates that all the days that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was suffering, so no woman miscarried, even the poorest people had food to eat, it may have been even years of drought, and yet the crops came up. Clearly, he absorbed the Midas Adin for his generation. So what is it? Is he being punished or for his lack of sensitivity to the calf, or is he absorbing the Midas Adin for his generation and enabling them to go, as it were, without being punished very harshly? Give them a chance to do tshuva. The Gemara then relates that one day he came home and the maidservant had found a nest of mice in the house, and she was getting rid of them, and she was vigorously getting rid of them, and he said to her, "Gentle, gentle, gentle, v'rachamav al kol ma'asav," and then the Yisroel went away. So from this, the Ramchal teaches us that even where the agenda is clearly that the Yisroel and the Tzaddik are coming to, as it were, protect his generation, but there always has to be an Achilles heel. No one is cannon fodder. There always has to be an Achilles heel, some flaw someplace. And it appears that's what the Rabbeinu Bachi is doing. Interesting. Let's continue. We know on the way to the Akedah, Chazal teaches us in the Medrash that first of all, in order to block him from being Mekayim, the Akedah, the Satan appeared first as a river to see if Avram would say, "Well, I can't do it, time to go home. I can't cross the river, can't get across, I'll drown." But the Medrash relates that Avram walked with Yitzchak until it was up to their noses, up to what he quiet, and he turned his eyes heavenward. He said, "Kibo mai mad nafesh. If either I, Hashem, or Yitzchak die, who will be Mekadosh your name?" The river goes. And as Zaken comes, he comes to Avram. He says, "You know, you're going to do this. Basically, you're going to undo all the work. Have you lost your mind?" He says, "Buzz off. Right? I'm listening to you. Satan appeared as Zaken." You know, he tries a few different ways, and he goes to Yitzchak. He says, "You know, your father's lost his mind. He's gonna kill you." What he caught. Yitzchak turns to Avram. He says, "The guy's bothering me." He says, Avram says, "I'm paying attention to him." Goes off. Finally, the Satan even says, interestingly enough, he says, "I heard from the other side of the great curtain upstairs, Achorei HaPargod, I heard that Yitzchak is not going to die. It's the isle that's going to be sacrificed." And Medrash says, Avram turns to him, he says, "This is the punishment of liars, that even if they tell the truth, they're not believed. So, goodbye." And so Avram Yitzchak continue. Fascinating. After the Akedah, Baruch Hashem, it's a great Hatzlacha, Al Tishlach Yadcha Lanar, Al Tassu Muma, Malach Hashem, Shlichus Hashem, the great Malach, right? Tells Avram not to do it. He doesn't do it. What is he going to do? Even Medrashim brings down a discussion, you know, make a mum in him, some of the mud, no blood, some of the mizbeach, etc. Then it says, "Vayisa Avram eseinav vayar v'yine ayil achar ne'echaz basvach b'karnav vayilech Avram vayikach es ha'ayil vayaleu lo'la tachas b'no." So this word achar, right? Vayisa Avram Seinav, he raised up his eyes, Vayar, and he saw Vinei Ayil Achar Nachaz Basvach. So this is a great source of discussion. What does this word Achar mean? What is it referring to? It would appear, we know from Avos, that the Ayil of Yitzchak, that took the place of Yitzchak, was created Ben Hashmashos. And so the Achar here could be like Acher, different. And the Maase Hashem, Rav Lozar Ashkenazi, actually says, Kain nigzar b'sheshis mei breshis, k'mo chen yesha oso ayel sh'radaf achrei Avram sholosh yomim v'nifrad me'eder leches achrav. He says it's not per se the ayel is created, yeah? The koach of the ayel, just like he says, just like the peh, the mouth of the aton of the donkey that spoke to Bilam, the peh, just the peh, right? He says the koach of that to take place is unnatural. And he says what happened over here, this ayel followed Avram for 3 days. I guess Avram was not aware, but it followed after Avram. V'nifrad me'eder leches achrav, hayabo koach maskil. It had the ability to understand, which is not the normal process of the animal. That's where the Maaseh Hashem understands the idea of this ayil being created bein hashmashos, as it were, in a unique time between the regular days of creation and Shabbos Kodesh. But in any event, the Maaseh Hashem, and there are others who learned the achar, and repeat that from Chazal also. Achar means acher, different type of ayil, ayil acher. Rashi says, Vinei Ayel, Muchan Hayel Lekach Misheshtim Ebreshis, Achar, Achrei She'amar Lo Amalach, Al Tishlach Yodcha, Ra'ohu, right, Kishunechas. After the Malach said, Al Tishlach Yodcha, Elanar, then Avram saw the Ayel, as it's entangled in the brush. After Avram heard the words of the Malach, perhaps even after Avram had the whole discussion with Hashem, then he saw the ayil. And he saw Bekarnav Shayaratze till Avram that he saw that the ayil was running towards him. Sounds very much like the Maaseh Hashem, but running towards him. Vasatan sovcho ma'arbavo. And the Satan is entangling him in the Ilanos. Tachas b'no, says Rashi, but the ayil, tachas b'no. Ma'ach shekosav ayaleo lo'olo chisra ha'mikra klum ma'u tachas b'no. Why, we already know, right? This isn't the place of his son. I mean, we already know that he put Yitzchak up onto the Mizbeach. She'osim menu aya mispal of omi he rotzom she'tezu ki'ilu he asuya b'bni ki'ilu b'ni shochot ki'ilu b'ni zizbonu zorok ki'ilu b'ni mufshat ki'ilu hu niktar v'nas edeshen. Every act that he did with the ayil, he said, Hashem, let it be as though this were on my son. What's the point of the Chumash telling us that Hashem, that Avram saw the ayil after the words of the Malach? We read the Pesukim, we see the Malach spoke to him, we hear, right? And then he sees the ayil. No, it has to be after the words of the Malach. The idea being, especially the way the Maaseh Hashem told us that this ayil had been following him for 3 days. Until the Nisayon reached completion, you don't really know why it happened. After it reaches completion, then the clarity appears. Ata yadati kirei Elokim ato. And now, the isle which was there all along, Avram sees. He sees that it was hidden by the Sultan before. He sees that it was hidden by the Sultan before. the nature of this Nisayan over here. It comes to completion, and now you understand what was blocked from you before, what was hidden for you before. That's here in this Nisayan, in the Chumash, the quintessential Nisayan. The Bnei Rabachye says, Valderach HaMedrash, Achar Nechaz Vasvach. Once again, also dealing with this word Achar. Achar Shiyisrael Nechazim Ba'averos Kol Yomos Hashona. He takes the unusual word Achar, and the Medrash says that after, it's like a whole new idea, after, right, Yisrael will be entangled in their Averos from the whole year, and they'll be in this Tzaros. They'll take the shofar of Rosh Hashanah, and that skus will help deliver them from their averus. Continues Rabbeinu Baruch, Achash Yisrael nechazim be'averus, mistavchim b'malchuyos. Not just a yearly issue, but an issue that dogs us for the millennia. Chai Yisrael is tossed about from one malchus to the next, from Bavel to Parsa Madai, to Yavon, to Edom. So fun, the goyel bekarno shel ayil. In the end, the schus of the Kedis Yitzchak will be there for us again. Shenemar, Hashem b'shofar yitaka, uvo ovdim, right? That's actually in Levadia, or ovdim. That's a shofar godel. But in any event, Hashem b'shofar yitaka. The Amida ben Yisayon is a schus for the Asid. So we have over here two approaches. One mentioned for us by Rashi in terms of understanding the word Achar. That Avram, now, after the Nisayon is complete, he understood what was there before. That all along it was like this. He understood what was hidden from him. The Beit Rabachye says the Achar is a whole new idea, a whole new concept, and that's why it's such an unusual placement. Right, in the Pasuk. By Avine Ayel. Achar. It'll have effect. Achar. Ne Achris. Nechaz Basvach. Right? Or it could actually be the Achar, it could also be an Acher. It could be referring to what he called Chayisra. Chayisra. Achar Nechaz Basvach. I think the Maribachis understanding is talking is. In terms of achar, in terms of time, achar nachaz basvach, and this the akedis yitzchak will be a schus first to them from to be delivered from their averus every year Rosh Hashanah time, and at the end of days the shofar gadol to come the shofar gadol achirusenu, that's the right hand shofar like Chazal teach us, the left hand shofar was blown at Matan Torah and the right hand shofar of the Isle of Yitzchak was blown. Will be blown, Bezer Hashem, when the Gula comes. So that's what we see over here with regard to our quintessential Nisayan. That which was there all along, but we couldn't see, is revealed to us at the end of the Nisayan. Rashi's Mahalach, based upon perhaps the a sort of understanding similar to that the Maase Hashem brought to the Isle, been following them all along. And we have the approach of the Rabbeinu Bachye, that the Achar is referring to the schus of the Nisayan will stand in good stead in the future. And all I can say is that for all of us that are not necessarily tzaddikim, and it's not upon us that it said Hashem tzaddik yivchan, but we live day in and day out with the Nisyonos, that the Mesillas Yisroel talks about, that are part and parcel of life, that we experience as Nisayon. Yi Ratzon, that we should be omid in the Nisyonos and immediately understand what was unclear to us about the Nisayon in the first place, just as Avram, after he completed the Nisayon, he saw the Isle was there all along. And he wrote some, may the Amida ben Nisyonos, that all of us should be zochet to, May it be a schus for us and all for our future generations. Just as the Nisoyon of the Akedah, obviously on the highest level, is a schus for all of Klal Yisrael. Amen. Have a good Shabbos. Mazal Tov.